My mind is one of those that has sort of a natural bent to organization. I remember even as a little boy, I would always count the steps every time I walked upstairs and downstairs and somehow try to organize them. It worked out well in the house that I was in up through seventh grade because there were 12 steps, and then we moved to a house with 13 steps, and that was very difficult to organize. And it's very difficult to organize thoughts about tonight's topic, which is the New Age. It sort of defies organization. It's a movement that is clearly very powerful, very large, very significant, but it's very hard to grab hold of. It's a tough thing to number, to count, to define. So in preparation for tonight, I have spent hours watching videos and listening to New Age music and reading New Age magazines and books about the New Age. And yet hardly would I contend that I really understand it or could be an adequate spokesperson in trying to explain it. I also have that feeling that if anyone gives a clear-cut definition of what is the New Age and what it's all about, that that person is almost guaranteed to be wrong. Or at least there's going to be an argument by people who would consider themselves to be New Agers that that does not correctly represent and characterize who they are or what they believe. Because the very nature of the New Age movement makes it tough to define and tough to describe. It seems that the best we can do is talk about it, to get a sampling, a taste, to develop an impression and a sense of what is truly an amazing phenomenon that has swept our country, especially just in the last 3 to 5 years. Well, the name, New Age, seems like as good a place as any to start. At least it ought to be held in common and clear for New Agers what that is all about. It is about a new age, one that some would say has just begun. Others would say is going to begin around the year 2000, or some would say is going to peak around the turn of the millennium. A new age, the age of Aquarius, the age of new peace, of tranquility, a time of national and international and personal harmony. Paul Zoromsky is the publisher and editor-in-chief of this New Age magazine called Body, Mind, and Spirit. And he has an editor's page, one in which he describes his own perspective and, of course, deals with the individual issue of the magazine. This is the current issue, which is for March and April of 1991. In it, he talks about the fading of the name New Age, not of the phenomenon, but of the name and the identification with the name. And he gives, I think, some helpful insights into the meaning. He writes that I have never much cared for the New Age label. The immense field of topic areas defined as New Age is far too diverse to be effectively described by one simple term. The hope was that the New Age label might be accepted by everyone as a positive term to describe the myriad of human potential activities clustered around it. In the last few years, there were many noble attempts to define New Age and make it work as a catch-all phrase. Unfortunately, New Age hasn't caught on. And in fact, the latest information indicates that perhaps we ought to stop using the name altogether. Well, if he can't define it, I don't know how I'm supposed to define it. It is difficult to give a definition of this phenomenon. It is clearly not an organized religion. There is no headquarters or board of directors or missionary force. There isn't a book, a Bible, or a Quran that can be quoted or referred to, or some authority that we can interact with and that person speaks correctly and finally for the New Age movement. But rather, it is something incorporating millions of people in our country, something that is large and that is loose. It is, by New Agers' own description, a network of people and of beliefs. But more than that, it is a meta-network, or a network of networks. So there are all kinds of New Age networks around the country, and then these networks relate to one another as greater networks still. This same magazine, which has lots of interesting things in it, has an interesting, fairly small article about the New Age, which I think is at least helpful, if not a definition. And I'd like you to listen, but especially note the activities that are listed by New Agers as included in New Age beliefs. The term New Age has often been a point of contention among those who live by many of the beliefs associated with the movement, but according to a 1990 Gallup poll, 69% of Americans have never heard or read about the New Age. The discomfort with the label, is understandable, as 49% of those who have heard about the New Age have an unfavorable opinion of it. Yet at the same time, the 1,236 Americans responding to the poll show a surprising number of what might be termed New Age beliefs. Let me just interrupt. You understand what they're saying? A lot of people haven't heard of New Age. A lot of people who have heard of it don't like it. But when you press them, they believe what New Agers believe. So the content is okay, even if the name isn't. And then the statistics roll on. One of every four Americans believe that they have had a telepathic experience. One in seven say they have personally seen a UFO. One in four say they believe in astrology. 55% believe in deja vu. I think I read that before. No, I didn't. 46% believe in spiritual healing. 21% believe in reincarnation. And then listen to the last paragraph in this little article. Surprisingly enough, of those who consider themselves to be born-again Christians, 22% believed in reincarnation. Well, reading this and yet another magazine called New Age in its April 1991 issue, it gives, I think, kind of an overview of the broad spectrum of things that are included in the New Age movement. So I went through and just did a sampling of the ads and the articles and the topics that New Agers are into. Listen to the list. Channeling, extraterrestrials, ecology, vegetarianism, don't kill the animals, meditation, yoga, UFOs, healing through music, mindless meditation, horoscopes, numerology, magic, mediumship training, hypnosis, psychic thought, palm reading, past life reading, astral projection, tarot cards, self-improvement, witchcraft, and there's a whole lot more. That's really just a sampling. It is much of the stuff of which paganism and the occult is made. And there are many other odds and ends which are mixed in, so it's kind of hard to take this jagged edge around New Age and determine where it starts and where it stops. But it seems to me, at least in my own learning, that there are some characteristics which many, if not most, New Agers believe in and hold in common. So here's my list. First is an experience-based philosophy that New Agers aren't much into head trips, into rational, logical, philosophic types of explanations. What New Agers are into is experience, especially experience of that which is spiritual and which they would say is good, and God, with a small g. They would say that there are no absolutes. If I experience it, I experience it. If you don't, you don't. If I believe it, it's true for me. And you experience something else, and that's true for you. Because experience is everything. Second characteristic is that New Agers are eclectic. That is, that New Agers choose from this religion and this philosophy and this approach to life, this good thing, that thing, and bring them all together into whatever they want for their own combination. Often, there's no need or particularly any desire to be consistent. And often along the way, New Agers have the freedom, take the freedom to reinterpret what has been a long-standing definition or understanding of something. I'll give you what really impressed me. And that is a tape that is advertised in the classified section of the April edition of New Age magazine. This is the ad. New Age teaching of Jesus Christ. Jesus' prophecy, Luke 22:10. When you see the man carrying the pitcher of water, that's Aquarius, enter the house, that's yourself, go to the upper room, that's right. I don't know what that means, but that, I mean, he said that's right, and explains then that cassette tapes on the New Age on the hidden teachings of Jesus. And you can write for a free catalog to Hidden Meetings in Forked River, New Jersey. So you can be a Christian, and you can interpret or reinterpret Jesus any way you want, including that Jesus had lots of New Age teachings. On that same page, there's another classified ad that I've read this thing a lot of times, and I still find it a little hard to imagine, but it is really here. I'll show it to you if you want to see it. This is the way the ad goes. I, Paul Reinisvich, am now willing to receive $10,000. Please send donations to, you want to jot this down, you can use a registration card, it's okay. Paul Reinisvich, 175 Benjamin Street, Pawtucket, Rhode Island. Zip code 02861. God bless you. So 10 grand for, I don't know, doesn't that seem strange to you? I don't know if it's strange because he's a New Ager or, you know, like Dave Bullock, he's from Rhode Island. I don't know. It may have something to do with any one of those things. But the idea here is that New Agers can believe anything they want. Now, but also a New Ager can say, concerning the two things that I just read, they're stupid. I don't accept them. In other words, I accept the New Age, but I don't accept a reinterpretation of Jesus, and I think that this guy in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, who is asking for money through a classified ad is crazy. And that's okay, too, because you can believe whatever you want. It is an eclectic philosophy or approach to life. A third characteristic is a lot of Hindu religious views, which underpin much of the New Age movement. In fact, there's some people who say that isn't really New Age at all, that it really is Hinduism that has been dressed in Western clothing. For example, a philosophy that is called monism, that everything is one, that there is an underlying unity that gives oneness to all of the world. Now, that's everything. That's people and buildings, that's God and us, that's that the things that are good and the things that are bad, those that are dead and those that are alive, everything is one together. There is a unity to all. Largely related to another Hindu concept, which is pantheism, that everyone is divine, that God is everywhere, that he is in everything. There is no personal God. There's not a God who has intellect and emotion and will and a separate identity from everything else. The fact is that we are all gods, a Hindu notion that is shared by at least a significant number of New Agers. And the notion that what we do in life is recognize God in us. That's the realization. That's coming to our full potential. Another word that's come much into our American vocabulary comes from Hinduism, and that's karma. Karma that is the good and the bad stuff of life, and a notion that in this unity of all of the world, it balances out, that if you are suffering now, in all probability, it's because you have bad karma that is left over from a previous life. Now, again, I say these things, and there are people who say, yeah, well, come on, Hinduism in America. But let me throw another quote your way to make a connection. It's a statement by the Reverend Palaniswami, who is the editor of the publication Hinduism Today. He himself is a Hindu monk. He lives in Hawaii. And he says that Hindu missionaries are coming to the United States. He goes on to explain that yoga, meditation, mysticism, and inner healing were too sophisticated for public consumption 30 years ago, but today they are the hottest item on the shelf. Not a small part of the phenomenon is related indirectly to the coming of the New Age movement. I'm particularly interested in his last sentence when he says, They may not call themselves Hindu, but Hindus know where yoga came from and where it leads to. Another characteristic of New Agers is a belief in reincarnation. In fact, from the statistics that were read earlier, 21% of Americans who say that they are born again believe in reincarnation. Now, actually, Hinduism teaches something that's different, which is called the transmigration of the soul. And in Hindu theology, it is really a frightening and a terrible thing. Even Mahatma Gandhi admitted that it was an awesome, difficult burden for Hindus to bear. Because if you're a Hindu, you believe that if you don't have things go the way you should have them go in this life, that you can have your soul at death come back in another being that may be a rat or a snake or a cow or a Brahmin, another person of high caste. It could come back any different way. And historians say that when the idea of transmigration of the soul came here to the West in the late 1800s and early 1900s, we Westerners didn't like that idea. Most of us didn't want to come back as mice or ants or rats or snakes or anything like that. And so we modified the Hindu view, called it reincarnation, and added to it the evolutionary philosophy that things get better, and said that reincarnation means you will always come back as a human and that there will be a positive progression or you'll sort of move up in the overall scope of things. Another characteristic is that much of the New Agers and their philosophy is what I would call self-centered. Now, that's my description, not someone else's. But by that, I don't mean that New Agers aren't benevolent or kind or considerate of others. In fact, there's some interesting ads that are throughout the New Age material that talk about giving to the poor and helping orphans and those who are hungry. Now, but it's a different way of talking about self-centered. It is saying that to New Agers, the decisions of life are centered in oneself instead of centered in God. And so there's a very different definition of, say, accountability or being responsible than what we as Christians would say. For we would say that we are accountable to God, that we are responsible to God. Whereas a New Ager would say, of course we're accountable to ourselves. Of course we're responsible to and for ourselves. So there is an underlying assumption that everything is related to me. Now, also tied in with that is evolution and a concept of, again, progressing higher and higher, or in New Age terminology, realizing one's human potential. That the human mind is divine, it can do anything. Have you seen the bumper stickers that say visualize world peace? The notion there is that we have a divine aspect to all of us and incredible potential in our own minds to fulfill all that we should be. And all we have to do is think, is realize that potential, is visualize it, especially if we all do it together. And astonishing, incredible, wonderful things can be done. Now, there are many other notions that make a list that's far too long. Some of them, I think, are really pretty good. Ecology has been significantly tied to the New Age movement. However, again, I think it's with a different twist, a different spin. Because as Christians, we would say that we believe that we should be ecologists who are greatly concerned about our planet, about all of our environment around us. But that's because it belongs to God, and we have been assigned as managers or stewards of what God has made. But it will be a very different approach for probably most New Agers who would see the earth as one with everything else. That God is not separate from the earth, he's really part of it. In fact, if you use Hindu terminology, you would refer to Mother Earth, for earth herself is considered to be a goddess. Well, there are other good ideas that I find tied into many of the New Age concepts. Things relating to good diet and good health. And so sometimes the differences are as alien from Christian truth as could be, and in other cases, they might seem to be compatible, in fact, quite close. Christian beliefs, though, in their core theology or philosophy or importance, we probably have to say are contrary to New Age beliefs. For example, give you a brief list. As Christians, we believe in a personal God, a God who has intellect and emotion and will, and a God who is absolutely distinct from creation. So we speak of there being a creator and the creation, and they are different from one another. As Christians, we contend that there are absolutes, absolute truth, absolute right, absolute wrong, and we cannot subjectively choose. It is not a matter of personal opinion nor of experience. It is a matter that God has said what is. A third Christian belief that runs counter to much New Age thinking is our view on salvation. In fact, some New Agers can get rather upset, especially those who would claim that it is okay to be a Christian and a New Ager at the same time. In the quoting of the words of Jesus in John 14:6, where he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through me." Because that runs counter to Hindu and New Age thinking that everything is a path to God, all roads lead to the same destination, and that salvation is not determined by God, but that salvation is determined by us. Add to that the Christian belief that Jesus is God. Some New Agers would say, of course Jesus is God. But again, what does that mean? Because if you're first saying that everyone is God, of course Jesus is God. And one of the explanations of Jesus is that he realized his full human potential and he realized his Christhood. In other words, he came to the place where Jesus became the Christ. And we could do that too. We could be as much God as he is and was God, and we could realize our full potential the same way. But as Christians, we say that Jesus is absolutely unique. He is the Christ. He is God, and we are not. There's also specific behaviors from the Bible that are just as contrary as can be to much of what many New Agers would say. Listen to, in fact, if you want to follow along, it's on page 302 of the Pew Bible, from Deuteronomy 18, verses 10 to 12, where some specific behavior is forbidden for those who are followers of God. Listen, "Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter."
It was Dawson Trotman who said, "If you can't see very far ahead, go ahead as far as you can see." And if you read the newspaper every day, you know that there are incredible changes taking place around the world today, and it's hard to see very far ahead, and every new event seems to change the face of what's taking place. And yet God is well aware of all of those changing events, and he is raising up people around the world, as well as organizations, to be on the cutting edge and to be involved with those changes. And one such organization that we have been involved with for quite some time is WEF, World Evangelical Fellowship. And this evening we have a special focus presentation by Dalen Heaston, who comes at this time to share a little bit about WEF and those changes that are taking place around the world.
Thank you, Joel. I've never been in a spotlight like this before. This is phenomenal. There's a verse or two from Ephesians 1 that captures what I've been feeling. Paul wrote, he said, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you." I kind of illustrate it this way. Suppose that you grew up and you were in a small town, and the only relatives that you knew of were your brothers and sisters and your mom and dad. And one day they took you off to where they came from, and you discovered they're your extended family. And you discovered that your extended family was a fantastic extended family. Your cousins were Major League Baseball players and great opera singers and all those kinds of things. And you even had a rich uncle in there, too. Well, it's kind of like that, being involved in World Evangelical Fellowship. Now, you know, we talk about the baby boomers. How many have been born 1945 or later? Just hold your hands up. Come on, I was born 1945. All right. Do you realize that since 1945, God has turned the evangelical church world upside down? In about 1945, about 9% of the evangelical church was in Africa, Asia, Latin America, South Pacific, the Caribbean. 90% was in Europe and Western Europe and North America. Today, right now, in the time that we're living, 70% of the evangelical church is in the Southern Hemisphere, Africa, Asia, Latin America, South Pacific, Caribbean, Africa. Think of it. It's like discovering your extended family. Now, the problem with most of us is, though, is that we don't get to know that family very well. Let me give you a little insight into what that family is like. In Nepal, they doubled in size. The church in Nepal went from 20,000 to 40,000 in Nepal in 4 years. What's their secret? Their secret is that they expect everyone to be sharing their faith. For instance, a young girl was with a friend, and they were standing on a street corner talking. And a missionary heard them talking, and she heard this young girl mention the name of Jesus. So she said to the girl, are you a Christian? And the young girl looked up with a bright face and said, why, yes. And she returned the question, are you a Christian? And the missionary said, yes, I am. And the girl said, oh, that's terrific. There's you and there's me. That's two of us. And my friend here, she's not a believer yet, but she's going to be a believer. That would make three of us. And as far as that girl knew, that's all there were, plus the one who had led her to Christ. Now, in Latin America, the church is expanding so fast, it's hard to keep up with it. David Howard, our international director, who is located in Singapore, was in Latin America recently. And he was told that he was going to speak in this church that had about 10,000 people in it. But when he walked into the church, he said there's no way they could put 10,000 people in this church, even if they held a couple of services. So he asked the pastor, how do you have 10,000 members, 10,000 people attend the service if you can't hold them all? The pastor said, well, that's not hard. We have a solution to that. We've taken our city and divided it into four quadrants. And each quadrant is allowed to come to church once a month. And the other three Sundays of the month, they're out evangelizing. So you're only allowed to come to church once a month. The other three Sundays, you're out sharing your faith. What a novel idea. You don't have to build another building after you grow out of this one. You just try that. It might be a real exciting experience for you. That's your extended family overseas. It's an exciting family. It's a missionary-minded family. In 1970, there were approximately 200 non-Western missionaries, that is, going to another culture. It may have been within their country, but to another culture. I got to look at my watch here. Today, it's estimated that there's about 46,000 missionaries from the non-Western world who are involved in cross-cultural ministry. If they keep growing at the rate that they're growing, it's estimated there'll be 162,000 non-Western missionaries by the end of this century. That means that if you're going to be a missionary, get as much experience and exposure to the international people that you have contact with today. Because you won't be able to be a missionary overseas without working alongside of one of your extended family, maybe from Africa, Asia, Latin America, the Caribbean, and the South Pacific, wherever. World Evangelical Fellowship is made up of local churches joined together like the Greater Minneapolis Association of Evangelicals, which are tied together with a national association, in this case, the National Association of Evangelicals, to which you belong here in this country, that's made up of about 46 full denominations and other local churches representing about 55,000 churches in the United States. That's the national association to which Wooddale belongs. And there are 67 other such national associations that form the membership of World Evangelical Fellowship. That's your extended family. We're the umbrella organization for evangelicals worldwide through the national associations. Your extended family numbers an estimated 120 million people. Get busy and learn about them. We want to help you. If you want to be informed, let me know. Our address is real simple. Box WEF, Wheaton, Illinois, 60189. Thank you.